Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer, joins us. This is 2 weeks in a row, Jeff, that we have a positive outcome to talk about.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. We're back, baby.
With a vengeance.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny. I have a pair of Saints socks that I wore in week 6 and 7, and I started to feel like I was the reason that they were losing because I changed up what I was doing, and so I didn't wear them. But, you know, I needed more evidence, so I wore them this week, and I think the magic is back. The Saints socks are back in the rotation. I feel personally responsible for the win this week, and we'll go from there.
Forget about the performance of both Derek Carr and Taysom Hill. It's all about you, baby.
Oh, it's the socks. It's always the socks.
It was actually, I watched the entire game, no interruptions. That's unusual. And, it was a good game. It was interesting. They kept it interesting throughout. I thought they played really, really well, and the stats kind of bear that out.
Yeah, and you know, this is the second game in a row that the Saints have won that, you know, I didn't think it was perfect. You know, there was adversity. They left a lot of points on the board in the first half, right?
Yes,
you know, the
yes,
fumble by Taysom Hill in the red zone. You know, they were in field goal range when they decided to go on fourth down. They ended up getting a penalty, so they had to punt. So you're talking a minimum of 6 points there in a game that ended up tied 14-14 in the fourth quarter. And, you know, what we talked about last week is what was most encouraging is, you know, how you bounce back from some of those issues, some of those mistakes, and closed out the game in the fourth quarter. And that's been the message that Darren Rizzi and the coaches and the players really have been preaching is finish. And for a second consecutive week, the Saints defense shut out the other team in the fourth quarter, and they went and they won the game. And, you know, you'll win a lot of NFL games. You go around the NFL, right? And you look at the teams that win the most often, the teams that find their way, you know, look at the Chiefs, right? The Chiefs aren't blowing teams out week in, week out. They actually lost this week for the first time. But they're winning the fourth quarter in almost every one of their games. Obviously, they lost to the Bills yesterday. But you know, they're not dominating games quarters 1 through 3. They're dominating the fourth quarter. And if the Saints can continue to do that like they did yesterday and like they did last week, you're going to win a lot of football games. And for a long time, the Saints were a team that did that with Drew and Alvin and Sean. And it feels like over the last 3 years, you haven't seen as much of that. But that's why these last two games have been so gratifying because, you know, it's not like you got out to a big lead and you nursed it and you backed into a win. It's not like you had to rally from 10 points down. You went out and won a game, a close game in the fourth quarter. And, you know, that's what makes it so exciting.
I really like the balance, passing yards 259, rushing 214. Anytime we get to 200 rushing, I know you sports guys, y'all are excited like I am.
Oh yeah, and I mean one of my big critiques coming to that Falcons game was I thought Clint Kubiak got a little bit lost in the Taysom Hill part of the game, right? Like, and we saw this happen to Pete Carmichael, a guy who was very, very familiar, had years of experience kind of incorporating Taysom Hill into game plans. But then you would watch a game and how it played out and kind of the game flow, and you would notice, oh, wow, Taysom Hill hasn't got a touch in two full quarters. What's the deal? And so, I was hoping that going into this game, they would kind of see that and correct it. Because if you look at the Falcons game, you peppered Taysom Hill with touches over the first two possessions. And then he didn't touch the ball again until the final drive in the fourth quarter, right, inside the two-minute warning. In this game, there was a very clear emphasis on getting Taysom the ball early and often. This may have been a career. I have to go back and check. I would imagine this is a career high in touches for him. He had 8 catches for 50 yards, 7 carries for 100-something, 140-something yards, and 2 touchdowns. And, the game feels a lot easier when you're able to rip off chunk plays like that. And even with the turnovers, Taysom was very upset at halftime about the fumble, about the interception. But it tells you just how dominant of a game that he had that we're not talking about those plays, right? Like, those plays don't really even factor into the final result because of how impactful he was. And, when he's able to run the ball, life gets easier on Alvin. Life gets easier on Derek, who I think Derek Carr has had 2 excellent weeks at the quarterback position. I mean, you're talking about, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, over 500 yards, 70% completions. He's only taken 1 sack, and even that one was kind of, not really a sack. It was the guy, the defensive end, getting his hand in and knocking the ball out, and he did. And Derek recovered that. That was the sack. He didn't even take a hit. It was a game he went against Myles Garrett, and I think he ended the game with like 2 pressures. One of the best defensive ends of all time, not just in the NFL, like to ever do it. And you were able to erase him from the game plan. So, yeah, I think the Saints executed very well, and it's easy to forget. They don't have playmakers, right? They don't have either of their top 2 wide receivers out there, and they're still getting the job done. So, yeah, the offensive performance, I think that is the formula for the Saints team to win games, is to run the ball like that, get Taysom Hill involved, hit big plays when they're there to be made, and, just keep winning.
I don't know about you, and this is going to sound crazy, but one of the highlights of Derek Carr's performance yesterday is he threw the ball away like almost every time that he absolutely needed to avoid taking a sack, taking a loss, or knowing and recognizing immediately that the play was not developing, and it was never going to develop. It had collapsed from the very beginning, and he just got rid of the ball.
Yeah, DeMario Davis compared him to Rajon Rondo, who played for the Pelicans. He played for a lot of teams. And just in terms of being a point guard, like being that elite kind of ball distributor, getting the ball where it needs to go, making the right decision over and over and over again. And that's what you need your quarterback to be able to do is – you don't have to hit big plays every time, but eliminating bad plays, eliminating negative plays, it can be just as valuable, right? Like ending up in second and eight instead of 2nd and 15 because, you took a big sack, right? Or you found a check down instead of, putting the ball in danger over the middle of the field and kind of live to play another down. That drive where the game was 14-14, I felt like it was slipping away from them at a certain point in that game, and Derek just found a way. And I truly mean that. Like, plays broke down, and there was one play that he was scrambling, and he just found Taysom. He was not the primary on that play, and he just got it to him for a first down. Foster Moreau, we found several times, in big moments. There was one play that I watched Jordan Mims. He looked like he was the primary. They were kind of setting up a screen, and then he and Cesar Ruiz kind of ran into each other. So that play was dead, and he just looks down, he finds Taysom, right? And he turns what would be a negative play into a positive play. And when Derek is playing well, that's what he's doing, right? He's not blowing you away on the stat line. He's just making good plays and avoiding negative plays. He has not put the ball in danger, and that's what I think really stood out in that game, which, you got to give Jameis Winston credit too. I mean, we could talk about Derek. I thought Jameis played one of his best games as a pro. I mean, he was yeah, dealing in that game. He came out a little hot. Like, I think he was a little fired up, and he was airmailing some passes early over his receivers. But then he locked in. I mean, 395 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. He didn't really there were a couple potential interceptions, but they weren't like, the God's plan throws that we grew accustomed to Jameis. He did have an intentional grounding on a 2-point conversion attempt, which is honestly kind of hilarious. I've never seen that in the NFL because the sack doesn't matter. In a two-point conversion scenario, there's no reason to throw it away, right. Which is just kind of quintessential Jameis Winston. Like, he does stuff that you're just like, okay. But, you know, like, he's not the reason the Browns lost that game, right? He kept them in that game. And so, you know, the Saints needed every bit of it, even though it looks like 21 points on the scoreline, like, looks like they kind of ran away with it, which they did at the end. But that was very much a game, and you needed the strong performances from Derek and Taysom. So that's...
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What you got?
Jeff, help me out here. Last week, was it three field goals missed?
I believe so.
By the Falcons?
Younghoe Koo, he missed his first one. It was a longer one. They blocked the second one, which was a short one, and then he missed another kind of like 40-something yarder.
So three missed.
Two or three
missed in this game. I don't remember.
There were two, but it's kind of confusing because he missed the first one, right? And then this is Dustin Hopkins we're talking about. Then he missed the second one from 43 yards, I believe, but there was a holding call on Peyton Turner, so that one didn't count. It still missed.
Right.
And so, you know, the confidence level in your kicker is certainly not high. And then, you know, they get it in closer, and I think it's a 27-yarder that they missed. So, yeah, if you want to add it up, it's five of the last six field goals attempted by opponents in the Caesars Superdome have not gone through the upright.
So Rizzi has, like, this special teams voodoo thing or something working right now.
It sure feels like that. It really does. Like, if you told me that they turned up the air conditioning and blowing harder the last couple weeks, like, I'd believe you because it's bizarre. What Darren would say, and Darren keeps going back to this, and there might be some truth to it. I think he may be just trying to pull some positivity out of the Saints' performance in what is otherwise really just good luck. And he would point to the rush, right? He feels like the rush the Saints are getting on these kick attempts is getting in the head of the kicker a little bit and helping. And they did block one, so it's not completely, you know, just nothing. I mean, they are getting there. They're getting close. And, you know, it's impossible to know how much a rush might impact the kicker in his process. But that's what Darren would say, is it's not some sort of just, you know, voodoo that he's put on opposing kickers in the dome, that the Saints defense or the Saints special teamers are putting in a lot of effort and they're putting in a lot of energy to make these kicks more difficult by getting in their vision and getting their hands up. And either way, yeah, I think the Saints will take, considering how many, it seemed like we went years without anyone missing a kick in the dome. And so I think maybe that's just that karma is leveling out a little bit now.
And then interesting about this game, we didn't even I don't think we even tried a field goal, did we? I don't think so.
The one that I think they probably should have tried, they were at right. The 34, 35-yard line, and that's the one I was talking about that, you know, they went for it, and Derek actually completed it to Foster, but there was a hold, I believe, and then coming back.
Which was a hell of a catch, too. And he went out for a little while, yeah. Right? You know, yeah, it was funny. I didn't mean to focus on the field goal thing, but I remember at some point I got up, I was barbecuing burgers, and I went to check on the burger. It was like a 20-something yard field goal that Cleveland was lining up for. Went in, came out, expected it to, you know, the 3 points to be on the board. And I looked at my wife and my mother-in-law, they missed?
I mean, it's like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's like I can make again? A 27-yard field goal. Like, yeah. I could do that. Now, 100% of the time, no. But if you gave me 10 tries, I'd knock it through there a good percentage of them. Like, it's shorter than an extra point, which should be a 99% scenario for an NFL kicker. It is unheard of to miss a kick like that. But you mentioned Foster Moreau had that nice catch that he went down, hurt his shoulder, came back in the game. Thought he had an excellent game. And I'm just going to kind of run through one more. Pete Werner played this game with a club on his hand. He had surgery, broke his hand against the Falcons, his right hand. He had surgery. This is something DeMario Davis told us after the game. He had some sort of metal equipment inserted in there. He practiced on Friday with that club. He told DeMario that it felt like when he would impact something, it felt like he was punching a brick wall. Like, that's the level of pain he was dealing with. So he deserves a ton of credit. I think the term DeMario uses, Walker Texas Ranger toughness, and that's a good way to describe it. So I think Pete Werner deserves a lot of credit and praise for the toughness he showed kind of working through that.
Great team effort for sure, and obviously Pete playing with that and playing through the pain is something that we should recognize as well. But just a lot of fun. We're off next week. Probably couldn't have happened at a better time because we lost our center yet again. we're just having no luck from an injury standpoint on the front line, right?
Yeah, well, we'll see. I think they were being more proactive with Eric more than anything else. Darren said he probably could have gone back in if they needed him to. I think with the bye coming up and knowing that, you know, he is coming up that groin injury surgery, I think they were just playing it safe. We'll learn more today. We're talking to Darren this afternoon. I expect we'll get more information on that. So I'm hopeful that he'll be back by the time they come and play the Rams.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Jeff Nowak, WWL, Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. Always appreciate your time, your insight. Have a great week.
You too, Noel. Thanks.
All righty. Look, we'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.